more confident you will be when you use them in real life, and the more effective you will be as a communicator in English. And in this global world of ours, communicating effectively is absolutely key to success. By means of face-to-face classes or video conference classes, Vaughn will make all the difference for your English. And you will make all the difference for your company.
Más información en Barcelona en el 933398687. En Madrid en el 911335831.
Hey guys, are you sitting around your home just wondering what to do? Well, why don't you sign up for Vaughn's English class via video conference? That's right. Now you can have the best teachers in the comfort of your own home. You'll get personalized attention because there's a maximum of only 6 students per class. Give us a call, 91-133-5831. Learn English with Vaughn via video conference classes. Sign up now.
Prueba el método Vaughan con nuestro curso trimestral. Elige entre nuestra modalidad presencial o por videoconferencia. Y el resto, déjanoslo a nosotros. 3 meses de listening y speaking con los mejores profesores del mercado. Entra en grupovaughan.com e infórmate. Curso trimestral de Vaughan. Para más información sobre cualquiera de nuestros cursos, llámanos al 91-133-5833 y te ayudaremos con lo que necesites. 91-133-5833.
You're listening to The Drive Time Show with Kyle Miller.
And welcome back to the Drive Time Show. My name is Kyle Miller, and this is part 3. It's the third half hour, the final half hour of our Drive Time Show. Of course, you're listening to Vaughn Radio, Vaughan Radio, as they say, Vaughn Radio. Thank you for tuning in and deciding to invest in your English. And we're going to begin this half hour by going back, taking a look back in time. One of my favorite parts of the show, Today in History.
Today in History.
Oh, Today in History. Let's go back to 2001 and we have the release of Shrek. Shrek. Now, this was DreamWorks Studio, had been founded by Steven Spielberg, Jeffrey Katzenberg, and David Geffen, and they released on this day a film that would become its most successful film to date, right? Hasta la fecha, Shrek. And it was based on a 1990 children's book. Very vividly, let's say, very vividly reimagined by DreamWorks animators as a twist on the classic Beauty and the Beast story. The studio had originally signed comedian Chris Farley. That would have been great to provide the voice for the Green Ogre. But he died in December of 1997, and it set the project back as the character of Shrek had been tailored to his personality and his voice. Now, Mike Myers stepped in and put a spin, his own spin on the character, including a thick Scottish accent with the flavor of his native Canada. Now, you might know Mike Myers from the Austin Powers movies, and he's great at doing accents. He's Canadian, but he has Scottish heritage as well, and he loves to put on that Scottish accent. And the film turned a lot of cliché fairy tales on their heads to turn something on its head. So to take a different look at a cliche. I think you say something similar in Spanish with portrayals, kind of sympathetic portrayals of typical villains like ogres and dragons, but making them look good. So turning the tables and making someone who normally looks bad or normally is considered bad to look good. Dragons and ogres. And in the world of Shrek, Prince Charming is a fool, an ogre, who turns out to be a romantic hero. Now, alongside Mike Myers, Eddie Murphy improvised his role as Donkey. Cameron Diaz voiced Princess Fiona. So you might know these characters. Now, in Spain, you have different voice actors who interpret the various roles. I don't know who the voice actors were in Spain for Shrek, but very prestigious roles. But here in the English version, yeah, Mike Myers, who you may know from Austin Powers or Wayne's World, Eddie Murphy, huge actor from the 80s and 90s, Cameron Diaz, John Lithgow was Lord Farquaad. And DreamWorks entered Shrek in the Cannes Film Festival, where it was the first animated entry to compete there since 1974. It won no prizes at the film festival, but started to generate great word of mouth. When you say in Spanish, de boca a boca, we say in English, word of mouth. It had rave reviews. Rave reviews means great reviews, great score, great interest in the box office, en las taquillas, and made $42 million in its opening weekend, which was the biggest opening weekend for a DreamWorks film ever. Bigger than Gladiator, which had been pretty big before that. But Shrek's success helped establish DreamWorks as a force to be reckoned with, which means a significant power, a significant authority in Hollywood, especially in the field of animation, where it emerged as a rival to Walt Disney and Disney Pictures. And at that year's Academy Awards, Shrek beat out Disney's Monsters, Inc. to win the Oscar for Best Animated Feature. It was also nominated for Best Adapted Screenplay. And when the American Film Institute released its list of the 10 best films in 10 different genres in 2008, Shrek came up at number 8. And was the only non-Disney film to make the list. Myers, Murphy, and Diaz would play their roles again in sequels in 2004 and 2007. And in 2008, Shrek the Musical opened on Broadway. There you have it. Shrek. Great, great film. Now, let's jump up to 2004, and we have, well, it's time to go to the ballpark, and Randy Johnson. I'm talking about baseball here. Randy Johnson threw a perfect game at the age of 40. Quite an accomplishment. This is a left-handed pitcher. The guy who throws the ball, the pitcher. Randy Johnson became the oldest pitcher ever in Major League history to throw a perfect game, leading his team to a 2-0 victory over the Atlanta Braves. Now, what is a perfect game in baseball? A perfect game is when a pitcher faces the minimum number of batters to record all of the outs in the game. So the game, each inning is completed when you get three players out. And there are 9 innings, so you need 27 outs. And a perfect game occurs when a pitcher faces only 27 batters and records 27 outs. Through the 2006 season, only 17 perfect games had been thrown in all of baseball. Now, Randy Johnson, they called him, his nickname was the Big Unit. Big guy, tall, 6'10", taller than Michael Jordan. Known for his fastball, he struck out 13 batters in the game, and he led the National League in strikeouts that year for the fifth time. He had previously won four strikeout titles in the American League, even though managers typically put all these right-handed hitters against him to deal with the fact that he was so dominant against left-hand batters. Now, he used his height and length to full advantage, striding towards the plate and throwing the ball sidearm so that left-handed hitters couldn't really see the pitch until it was on top of them or even past them. Now, Johnson had already thrown a no-hitter in 1990 for the Seattle Mariners. He missed a perfect game that day by walking batters. So when you throw balls, it's called throwing a ball. When you throw and you don't hit the strike zone and the batter doesn't swing, it's called a ball. And if you throw four balls, the batter gets to take their base. It's called a walk. So he had walked seven batters in that game, so he didn't get a perfect game. But he did have a no-hitter, which is when, as you can imagine by the name, the opposing team doesn't get any hits. He also won the Cy Young Award, which is the award for the best pitcher. He won the Cy Young Award 3 years in a row from 1999 to 2002, while he pitched for the Arizona Diamondbacks. In 2001, he set a major league record with an average of 13.41 strikeouts per game, or per nine innings. He was also the fifth player to throw no-hitters in both the American League and the National League. An incredible achievement. Now, the oldest pitcher to throw a no-hitter was Nolan Ryan, who was 44 years old. Wow, for the Texas Rangers in 1991. And that was his seventh of his career, but he never threw a perfect game. Now, one other thing that happened, and a lot of things have happened, but another thing that happened on this day in 2011, as we change gears completely, is John Lennon's lyrics, La Letra, John Lennon's handwritten lyrics for the Beatles song Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds. Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds sold for $237,132 at an auction in the United States. The sale of the sheet music, which featured the song's third verse and the opening words to She's Leaving Home, another song, took place at the Sabin Theater in Beverly Hills. Both songs featured on the 1967 album Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. And it was sort of speculated that the song was about drugs. But the Beatles denied this. And Lennon said the inspiration had come from a picture that his son Julian had drawn of a classmate named Lucy Vauden, who died of lupus in 2009. So he claims that. Anyhow, let's move on, everybody. And I want to talk about books. I want to talk about books and how about a little vocabulary? Let's take a look at some book-related vocabulary. Okay, we have the plot, el argumento de un libro. We call the plot, P-L-O-T, plot, the plot, autor, the author. Bibliography. I used to do these. Did you do these? I don't know if people, I guess you do them. Everybody did them, right? In school or in university, writing bibliographies to give credit where credit is due. The bibliography to cite. We call it citing your resources. Appendice. Appendix. Which is interesting because also the appendice, which is what you have in your lower abdomen, your appendix, which I had to have removed about 10 months ago. I was hospitalized and I had my appendix removed. El appendice. Acknowledgements, agradecimientos, acknowledgements, and it's A-C-K, A-C, and then knowledge, conocimientos, knowledge, AC, knowledge, acknowledgements, agradecimientos. I would like to dedicate this book to, you know, and you say people who helped you, for example, with the process. Acknowledgements. Diccionario. This one's easy. A dictionary. Dictionary. So your diction is your ability to pronounce properly, to clearly enunciate the words. It's important to have good diction. Biography, biografía, no problem. Biography, biography, we say. Biografía. Let's see. Comic book, un cómic. We say comic book. Comic book, un cómic. Comic, comic book. Cita, quote. Quote, what did he say? I have a dream, Martin Luther King. It's a famous quote. Famous quote. Folleto. Brochure. Brochure. B-R-O-C-H-U-R-E. Brochure, se escribe. Brochure. Brochure. Sure, why not? Brochure. Brochure. De bolsillo, libro de bolsillo. We call this a paperback book. Paperback writer, like that song, right? The Beatles. A paperback. And, well, it could also be a soft cover, or a paperback book. De bolsillo. You could also say a pocketbook. Pocketbook, I suppose. Fiction. Ficción, fiction. Hardcover or a hardback. De tapadura. Índice. We typically say the contents. We could say index. Look it up in the index. Nota de pie de página. Footnote. Footnote de pie de página. Ah, como en español, right? Footnote. Exactly. Title. El título, the title. Let's see. A bookmark. Marca páginas. Nice to have a good bookmark. Bookmark, bookmark. Preface, prefacio, preface, preface. Derechos de autor. Derechos de autor. Copyright. Copyright, we say. Oh, the copyright. Like the books that I have are all copyrighted. They are copywritten, I suppose. Textbook, libro de texto. Textbook, novela, novel. Novel. Y el editorial. ¿Cómo se dice el editorial en inglés? Do you know this one? We don't say editorial. We say the publisher. Ah, claro, because they're publishing the book. The publisher. El editorial. Now, we do have the verb to edit. So I understand editorial, que está ahí editando libros. But they not only edit them, they actually publish them. They release them. Right? They release them for sale into the market. Okay? So there you have a little bit of vocabulary, getting into the world of books in our vocabulary section. All right. Let's go ahead. I have a bunch of questions from listeners, maybe questions from you if you're a listener and you wrote in. We have a few questions. Let's get to those now in today's By Request.
By Request. Inglés a la carta.
Oh, you know this one by request. Inglés a la carta. That's right. We have a question here from Miguel Ángel. First of all, how can you participate? People are saying, Kyle, how can I participate in this? How can I get involved in the Drive Time Show with my question? And well, you can write on the Facebook group, el grupo de Facebook, the Facebook group, English with Kyle. You can join the group and you can submit your questions there. Or you can also write in on Instagram or on Twitter where the name is I'm Kyle Miller. I'm Kyle Miller. Okay, Miguel Ángel says, hi, Kyle. How can I translate el sedentarismo, puede producir enfermedades cardiovasculares. Ooh. Sedentarismo. Now, I don't think we really say sedentaryism. I think we would say a sedentary lifestyle. Bueno, estilo de vida. That's what I would say. I would say a sedentary lifestyle can cause, puede producir enfermedades cardiovasculares, can cause cardiovascular illnesses, cardiovascular diseases. A sedentary lifestyle can cause cardiovascular illnesses. Yeah, that's what I would say. That's my answer, and I'm sticking to it. Elisa says, hi, dear Kyle, she says, when practicing the interrogative challenge, I sometimes get mixed up between how often and how many when numbers are mentioned. Okay, by the way, it's a top exercise. Okay. I highly appreciate your answer. Okay. Well, these are different because when you say how many is cuántos, so you're talking about a total number. But when you say how often, you're talking about a frequency, right? In this case, you're commenting on a frequency. So these are two different things. So, for example, I could say, I read 6 books last year. How many books did you read? Now, if I say, I read a book every month. How often do you read a book? I read a book every month. Okay. Or I eat fried chicken once a month. How often? Con qué frecuencia? Comes, pues, pollo frito. How often do you eat fried chicken? So when you're talking about a frequency, of course, you're going to use how often. And when you're talking about a pure number and you're indicating a total number, that's when you're going to say how many. ¿Cuántos? How many? Okay? I hope this makes sense. I think it does. I think it's fairly straightforward, as we say. I don't think this is too difficult. But remember, you have to think, are you talking about the number, purely the total number, or a real frequency, una frecuencia? And there you have, that should help you realize which one you have to use. Okay, Tanya. Tanya says, hi, Kyle, what's up? And she says, I would like you to tell me the difference between to be used to and to get used to when each of them is used. I don't really know how to do it. Thank you very much. Best regards. Well, to get used to, first of all, we're talking about used to in the sense of acostumbrarse. Acostumbrarse, to get used to become accustomed to something. And to be used to, estar acostumbrado. But let's change the verb for a second. Let's look at the difference between being and getting. Right? Estar mojado y mojarse. Right? Mojarse, to get wet. Estar mojado, to be wet. Before you can be wet, you have to get wet. Before you can, está mejorando. Mi hermano está mejorando su salud. Está mejorando. He's getting better. And then the next day I said, oh yeah, he's better now. Está mejor. He's better. So before you can be better, you have to get better. Before you can be wet, you have to get wet. And it's the same with used to. Acostumbrado. Before you can be used to something, antes de que puedes estar acostumbrado a algo, tienes que acostumbrarse. Right? You have to get used to it. You have to go through the temporary period, the temporary transition, the temporary adjustment period of becoming accustomed to something. Acostumbrarse a algo. Okay? So that's the difference. To get used to is to become accustomed to. Whereas to be used to is estar acostumbrado. Okay, estoy acostumbrando. Estoy acostumbrando a ir al trabajo en coche. I'm getting used to driving to work. Estoy acostumbrado a ir al trabajo en coche. I am used to driving to work. Okay? No estoy acostumbrado a restaurantes baratos. I'm not used to cheap restaurants. Tendré que acostumbrarme a una nueva dieta. I'll have to get used to a new diet. So to get used to, acostumbrarse, to get in the sense of to become accustomed to. So that is the temporary transition, becoming accustomed to something. Okay. Now, on the other hand, we have the completely different meaning, which is subject used to infinitive, which is the past form. I used to live in Canada. I used to play baseball. I used to ride my bicycle to school. It means anticipado, ya no. Like politics more. I don't know. I used to watch more football. Right? Subject used to infinitive. This is the past form. So that's different. Eso es otra cosa. But when you talk about accustomed to, you have to get used to, que es acostumbrarse a algo, and then to be used to, estar acostumbrado a lo que sea, to be accustomed to whatever it is. Okay, I am out of time, so I have to finish there, but I want to thank you for listening today, friends. Thank you so much, and I will be back really soon. I'll be back tomorrow with another episode of the Drive Time Show for you, as always, como siempre, ya sabes. You know where to find me, right here on Vaughn Radio. And remember, if you would like to hear this show again, or you missed part of it, be sure to look for the show on iVox, I-V-O-O-X, and search for Drive Time. You can hear podcasts of today's show either at iVox.com or by downloading the iVox app, and you can listen to Drive Time. So simply search for Drive Time on Vaughn Radio, and there will be many, many episodes, and you can practice with those translations, with the challenges, with the pronunciation, and improve your English with me, as there are new episodes every day, Monday through Friday, here on Vaughn Radio. Okay, thanks for listening, everybody. I'm going to finish there. That's it for today for me. My name is Kyle Miller, and I'll be back really soon with another episode. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Para más información sobre cualquiera de nuestros cursos, llámanos al 91-133-5833 y te ayudaremos con lo que necesites. 91-133-5833.
Que tus hijos se aburren en el campamento de verano es porque no los has enviado con Vaughan. Porque si buscas un campamento en el que se diviertan, pero de verdad, donde además hablen en inglés todo el rato, tráelos a nuestros campamentos de verano Vaughan en España. Ávila, Cantabria, Valencia, Guadalajara. Tenemos un montón de destinos disponibles para este